Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you, those that have elected or chosen to join us on this afternoon for worship. We're thankful for your presence, thankful to God for you being with us on this afternoon. And I am thankful, privileged to be able to preach the Word of God to you on this afternoon. I would like to begin by saying to those that are on the call tonight, this afternoon, in Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse number 23, Jeremiah recognized something in the Old Testament when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized when it came to a spiritual life or spiritual walk that it was not in man to direct himself. And then in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 33rd verse, Jesus gave guides to where those instructions can come from for man when he said in verse number 33 of Matthew 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus identified the place for which spiritual guidance can come from. He said that a man that is looking for a spiritual walk, Jesus said the first thing he should seek is the kingdom of God. And then when Jesus met Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, and the verse is number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which Jesus identified that one should seek, Jesus instructs Nicodemus that a person has to be born again, and that's water baptism. We'll talk about that at the end of the message. But one had to be born again. If not, he could not see the kingdom of God. And then those that were baptized, that were added to the kingdom of God, Jesus, in his having taught that, Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, he said, praising God, he wrote, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that which Jesus identified to seek first, that to which those could be added to through baptism, the Lord would add those to the church. And we also see that those that are added to the church were saved at that time from their past sins. They're added to the church. And so I like to introduce that as we talk about one worshiping God and one studying the Word of God and identifying for those that may not be familiar what the Word of God teaches about one's spiritual walk and where one needs to find that place and how one gets into or added to that place to be saved from their sins. And on this afternoon, I want to talk with you from the subject, the truth about worship. The truth about worship. And so we'll see from the Word of God what the truth about worship is. and hopefully remind us of some things and some cases educate some to those things according to the Word of God. Well, to start this, when we talk about the truth, we need to know what truth is. And you can follow along with me in your Bibles. In John, the 17th chapter, if you'll turn there, and the 17th verse, John chapter 17, and the verse is number 17. The Bible said, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus identified that God's word, when it comes to biblical or spiritual truth, Jesus identified that God's word is truth. Not what man says, but God's word. Those things we find written in the Word of God, that is truth. So that's where we will go to find out about the truth about worship. Now, in Matthew chapter number 4, and the verse is number 8. Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is number 8. We find that when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was met by the devil, and the devil tempted him. Jesus tried to tempt him. The Bible says in verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, and that him being Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus responds in verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus here identifies that the Lord thy God is the one to whom worship is to be offered and to serve him. And when we look at the definition of the word worship, the worship is an act of honor or respect shown to, in this case, to God. So worship is an act of honor and respect shown to God. That's what worship is. Jesus here in this text identifies who it is that any spiritual person should worship, that being God the Father. And so the question we ask, why should one worship God? Why should one worship God? Well, in John chapter 3, first point, John chapter 3, and the verse is number 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the world here being mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So one reason to worship God is because God has given man the opportunity for everlasting life, to live with God forever. And then secondly, in Romans chapter 5, and the verse is number 8. Romans chapter 5, and the verse is number 8. Second point, the Bible says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. The second reason is because God commended his love toward us. And how did he show his love toward us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. God not only gave us his only begotten son, but his son died on a cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Was on the cross for 6 hours. He died for us. Why should one worship God? Because God gave us an opportunity to everlasting life. Also, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And then our scripture text that was read in our ear on this afternoon by Brother Kirby in John chapter number 4 and verse number 23 and 24. The Bible reads, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So when we look at true worshipers are those that are taught. Yeah, you cannot be a true worshiper unless one has been taught. And then secondly, the Bible says, according to Jesus, that we shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And truth, as we identified in John 17:17, is according with God's will. So we worship God according to his will. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the word worship is an act that is offered. Worship includes acts as well as the proper attitude which causes them. Worship involves an attitude which expresses itself in acts which find acceptance in the will of God. Worship, again, includes acts as well as the proper attitude which causes them. Worship involves an attitude which expresses itself in acts which find acceptance in the will of God. So now, the question I asked, what does the New Testament authorize us to do in worship service to God? And let me just share with us, because sometimes we need to understand when we assemble, we are not going to church. We are attending worship service. We are those that are Christians of the church. In 1 Corinthians 12 and the verses number 27, the Bible, Paul wrote, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are the church of Christ. Those members are the church of Christ. So when we assemble, and Lord say the same, our building doors will be opening in the very near future, but we will be attending worship service. We are not going to church. We are the church. We are attending worship service that we may worship God, show him honor and respect, is what we are doing. And so, to see what the New Testament authorizes in worship service, in Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 2, and we find that at that time, the Bible shares with us in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there was about 3,000 that heard Peter preach the gospel of Christ, Acts chapter 2, verses 20 through 24, about Christ's death, burial, resurrection. They heard that. They believed that. They repented of their sins. They confessed Christ to be the Son of God, Acts 8:37, and then they were water baptized for the remission or forgiveness of their sin. And so those 3,000 were added unto the apostles, and they were the church. And so then on that first Pentecost, day of Pentecost, after the resurrection of Christ, they worshiped God according to the Bible. And so we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, four of the acts, and then in verse 47, we see the fifth act. And so the Bible reads, and they continued, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These five acts, along with the proper attitude, were instructed by the Apostle Paul to be performed by the Corinthian Christians and are our commands today. So those five acts that we see, the apostles' doctrine is teaching. Fellowship is a contribution or a giving of money. And the breaking of bread is a remembrance of the Lord's death on the cross. And then we offer prayer to God. We also sing to God. That's praising God. That's singing to God. So those five acts are what Paul commanded and instructed the Corinthians to do. So let us look at the truth about worship through the Corinthian letters that Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians. We find first apostles' doctrine. Turn your Bibles to the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verse is number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul wrote, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So apostles' doctrine is the teaching of the apostles. And Paul said what Timothy was to do, what I'm doing today, is simply bringing you into remembrance of the ways that we find in Christ in the Word of God. And Paul says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Secondly, we have fellowship or sharing, which means sharing or offering or giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we have an example where Paul wrote to them, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So we see that they gave, those gave to the Lord on the first day of the week. And then they gave, Paul said, as God has prospered him. And those are material things that we give. And in today's society, we give monies to the Lord, that which God has blessed us to receive or earn. We give back to the Lord on the first day of the week. So that's number two. You have the Acts, Apostles, Doctrine, You have fellowship. Thirdly, we have the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the verse is number 16, the Bible says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So we have the breaking of bread is that communion that we have with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and our worship to God. And then we have the final two are prayers and praising or singing, and that's done to God, not to man, not to entertain man. And we have to be careful that when we are worshiping God, that we are not trying to entertain one another. The prayers that we make are to God. The singing that is done is to honor and to show respect to God and not to man. And so for that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 15, we'll find both of those things instructed by Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the verse is number 15. Paul wrote to them, he said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So we see that prayer is done with the human spirit and is done with understanding of whom you're praying to. And then when we sing in our human spirit, but we also sing with the understanding also. Only those that worship accordingly are given God's approval in their worship to him. You have to worship God according to the truth about worship. If you're here on this afternoon and you're not a Christian, as I introduced in the beginning of our message, how does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? I want to say to you now, if you're on the call and you have not obeyed the will of God according to God's teaching by someone who is a Christian, then you are not a child of God. You are not a Christian. You are not a member of the Church of Christ. One has to be taught properly. And Paul identified that in his second letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, I'll begin with. Paul said, I'll begin at verse number 3. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God, meaning the devil, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice what he said. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart, those that are Christians, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the faith of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says to them, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So right now, you haven't obeyed the Lord according to the Bible. You're in darkness right now. And so that light is shining. You're in darkness. We want you to come to light. How do I do that? Let us go to the book of Romans as we move toward a close this afternoon. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15, Paul is written, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so the gospel are the three facts, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, of Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and then he rose again, never to die again. That's the gospel indeed. And Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So for one to be saved, the gospel is the instrument that God uses to bring salvation to an individual. How is that done? Well, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you're in your sin. And Paul said to them, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So Paul had talked to them after the fact they had died to sin. How does one die to sin? Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, my friend, you must imitate what Christ did. Christ died for sin. You must die to sin. Christ was buried in a tomb. You'll bury it also, but your tomb is liquid. It's water. You're water baptized. And then as Christ rose up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you'll rise up, as Paul told them, to a newness of life. And when you do that, as I said in Acts 2 and verse number 47, the Lord will add you to the church. And we find the descriptive phrase of the church in Romans 16:16, when Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. If you're one that needs to be added to the Lord and have your sins forgiven and be born again spiritually, we ask you to get with the person who invited you on the call, that we may assist you in becoming a Christian. I thank you for your listening ear on this afternoon.